Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing that pause button today to Edge Got In, to your mind, your will, and those crazy emotions. Today's topic is entitled Spring Clean Your Mind. You're going to learn three stories that hijack your ability to communicate well. So, just taking a look at this past week, did you have any moments where you felt that you were disconnected with someone after a conversation, that the conversation didn't go the way you thought it was going to go? Or perhaps it started out good, but it took a wrong turn pretty quickly, and you found yourself mucking around with some pretty strong emotions. Perhaps it wasn't this week, this past week, perhaps it was the week before. As long as we're in Earth School, my friends, we will have the opportunity to sharpen our communication skills. And that is our topic today. And it starts between the two ears, as you've often heard me say. You are the landlord of your mind. What are you giving free rent to today that is trashing your interior world? God calls us to live from the inside out, not the outside in. And we've just celebrated the risen Lord on Easter. And so we're in the Easter season here. And what better time to really get off the stage of the dramas in our lives and to take a good look at what do I want to do more of? And what do I want to do less of, God? Actually, better worded, Lord, what do you want me to do more of? And what do you want me to do less of? To grow closer to you and to be a better witness for you as I'm moving out into this Easter season and truly celebrating what you've done on the cross for me to win me over, to save my soul. Holy Spirit, we commit this time to you today and we just ask for your wisdom and discernment. One, so that we can acknowledge those times when we allow the ego to take the center stage, edging you out. When we have a strong desire to be right, liked, and understood, which prevents us from seeing things as they truly are, as well as offering generous assumptions to other people. Help us to be compassionate the way you were. Man, you were hanging on the cross, Lord. And you had compassion on your mother. You had compassion on connecting her with John so she wasn't alone. You had compassion on the thief on the cross. Today, you will be with me in paradise, you told him, because of his desire to be remembered. And you had compassion on all of the onlookers, including us, all through time. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. So give us the grace, Lord, to shake off those things that prevent us from living in the purity of your love and loving well. That is your greatest commandment you left us. Love one another. Your love for one another would prove to the world that you were my disciples. And that starts with our communication, our ability to listen, Lord, to understand versus listening to be understood, our ability to stay out of the three stories that will cause us to distort, delete, and generalize information in communication. Give us the grace, God, to communicate well. And to make you recognizable in our words, our thoughts, our deeds, and our actions. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight for everyone who's listening in today, Jesus, even for a moment. As we pause, there's so much hustle going on out there. Help us to lean into you for these next couple of moments. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So spring clean your mind, my friends. Last week, or the previous podcast, it's actually been 2 weeks, there was an invitation to do a negativity fast. Did you do that? Or perhaps you're in the midst of it. And that's really being conscious of removing those triggers that fuel negativity in your life. The news, social media, politics, all of those intrinsic wars that we have going on that Satan uses to rob us of our sense of inner peace or his ultimate desire, as we learned when we studied earlier this year, when we jumped into the new year. We learned about the devil's ordinary activities every day. He's wanting to deceive us first and foremost in order to divide us, to divert our attention from God, and ultimately to discourage us. And one of the biggest places he wants to discourage us is our ability to connect with each other. As Mother Teresa said, if we could remember that we belong to each other, it would open the door to a remedy to war. We belong to one another. We belong to Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we're here to make him recognizable. So let's do a little spring cleaning here of the mind. And if you haven't listened to the 5-part series on 4 idols that Jesus desires to drive out of your temple, highly recommend you do that. That's a great place to start with spring cleaning. You'll learn about how to be free from insecurity, how to be free from attachment, pride, and greed. And you can find that at edgegodin.com. Along with all of the podcasts, there is a one sheet, and there are many groups out there that are taking the podcasts and making them into group studies. That's a good one, my friends. And this is one that you can add on to that or continue the conversation around cleaning out the inside of the temple. And that has to do with being aware of the stories we tell ourselves that causes miscommunication. And I'm going to be pulling from something that I use quite a bit in my executive coaching and team building and leadership development, which is the Crucial Conversations program, one of my favorites out there. There's a lot of great tips. Today, I'm going to be focusing on the 3 stories that we tell ourselves that cause the miscommunication. And perhaps you can recognize yourself in these stories. I know that I can. And or you can remember a time recently when you found yourself in the middle of the drama of one of these stories. As we increase our awareness around what's going on, that puts us in the driver's seat, gets us off the stage of dramas in our life, and empowers us. And with Christ, all things become possible when our main desire is to serve and honor and glorify him. And that is our desire. And if you haven't already checked us out at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com, please do so. We've got a lot of content over there, including a book, a 6-week study guide, a course, and assessments to really up your game when it comes to emotional intelligence. How aware are you of your emotions? How well do you manage them? How aware are you of other people's emotions? And how well do you manage them? And we have taken the original theory of emotional intelligence and shifted it to be biblical, the biblical approach of how Jesus showed up in the area of emotional intelligence and how he calls us to do the same thing. This is definitely in line with the teachings at emotionalintelligenceinchrist.com. So we have 3 stories at play, and there are 3 stories that we tell ourselves that block our ability to communicate well. They also lead to offense. These 3 stories I'm going to share with you today, they lead to that sense of offense, of taking things personally, right? Not separating the person from the issue and Q-tipping it, as we say in Sherpa coaching. Quit taking it personally. And we do that very quickly. And Satan, again, remember, he's wanting to divide us, to discourage us. Divide, discourage. Deceive, divide, divert our attention from God, discourage. His rinse and repeat program that we learned about from Father Vincent earlier this year. And he is an exorcist that deals with this on a regular basis. So again, when you're aware of the tricks of the devil, you can call him out and say, no, I'm not biting. So offense, again, the etymology of the word offense is scandalon. It's the part that holds the meat on a trap to catch the animal. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait, my friends. And it's the triggers that you know when your emotions get involved, you took the bait. So it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when and how quickly can you recover. So being aware of the 3 stories I'm going to share today is going to up your game in recovery with the Holy Spirit, because then you're aware and you can call it out and say, oh, I know what's going on. I'm getting hijacked here. Totally took the bait. And I want to begin again. I'm telling myself a false story. So we take offense when we attribute a story which includes false motives as to why people do what they do. I'm going to say that again. We take offense when we attribute a story which includes false motives as to why people do what they do. For example, this is a very light example, however, one that perhaps you can relate to. Someone's going very slow in the fast lane on the highway. And your story, perhaps, in your mind as you're behind them, might sound something like this. They're doing this on purpose. They know I'm behind them. Or perhaps you go to turn, you go to go around them and they speed up. So you start creating a story. They're doing this on purpose, right? So it's actually a focus on self. This is all self. When we're triggered, it's self-focus. You can't not have selfishness in the presence of offense. Offense and selfishness walk hand in hand. It's a self-focus. You have offended me. I mean, Jesus had all the right in the world, right? And yet he didn't open his mouth once. So sin, the sin of selfishness, it's about me. And we make it about us, right? This person's doing this or saying this, or someone you had a conversation with perhaps recently said something in a way that triggered you, and you started to create stories, right? And it's the match. As soon as you start to create a story, that's the match that lights the haystack of our emotions very quickly. It's a short fuse. And our bodies respond to our thoughts. So our emotions actually get triggered by what we're thinking about. Our emotions actually are the ramifications of the story we're telling ourselves. So it's not so much what's happening, a person going slowly on the highway or a person speeding up when you go to pass them. That's observation. And it remains objective until you give it power and you start telling a story. It's the story, and this is a key piece of information I'm going to invite you to really camp on. It's the stories that you tell yourself that trigger the emotion. This person's doing it on purpose. They totally are out to get me. Or they're wanting something that I want, and they know I want it, so they're going for it ahead of me. So you start to create your story, and it's your story that actually creates the negative emotions. Listen, this is what Jesus spoke about. In the end times, people will take offense. People are creating story left and right. You're not giving people the benefit of the doubt or generous assumptions. They're seeing people through that filter of their stories. And there's three stories, by the way, and I will share those specific three stories we tell ourselves. We're called in the scriptures, and by the way, that scripture references from Matthew 24:10, when Jesus said, in the end times, people will take offense. In Philippians 2:3, we read that do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Nothing, nothing. It's not like, except for when you're on the highway, then you can. Or except for when you're in a conversation and someone's getting something that you want, then you can. No, do nothing, jack squat, out of selfish ambition or vain conceits. Rather, in humility, consider the needs of others better than your own. Philippians 2:3. We're also called to speak the truth in love. And I'm not talking about, as I share these three stories with you, I'm not talking about not speaking the truth. In crucial conversations, we teach it's very important to be 100% honest and 100% respectful, which is completely biblical. Speak the truth in love, with love, with Christ. Lord, give me your intonation, your facial expressions to connect with this person, because I'm feeling disconnected. Let me give you an in-time real example here of three stories that often play out. And the stories are these. There's a story of the victim. There is a story of the villain. And there is the helpless story. So victim, villain, helpless story. Now, let me give you an example from my life. My husband always jokes around because he's like, I always note that you use the content from inside our front door of what's going on in our lives to drive home different teaching lessons on your podcast. And so we joke around about that and laugh about that. But this is a good one. So my husband likes things neat and clean. And I think I've mentioned this before. He's clinical OCD. So he appreciates things very clean. And I don't even see it, to be honest with you. Like, he'll see dust and he'll see dirt and things that I do not even see. So it's not that I have motives to frustrate and upset him. It's simply that I'm not even aware of that. My filters are not the same as his, which is a huge grace you can offer each other in marriage, is to not judge each other for the different filters you both have and to understand the filters you have. So I like to make shakes, particularly when I'm in between meeting with clients, and sometimes I'll have like a 20-minute window or something, and I move pretty quickly, no shocker there. And so I'll jump into the kitchen if he's taking his break too. We both work out of the house. If he's taking a lunch break, he'll watch me. I'm in there throwing a shake together, and I pull out the beet powder. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with beet powder, but it's very small, granule, red powder. And so as I'm scooping this into my shake and grabbing the little scooper, the powder is getting all over my fingers. And then I'm grabbing the refrigerator and grabbing the cold pressed juice to put in and all this, and it's getting everywhere. That's the bottom line. So for me, I'm not even aware of it. I'm just, my purpose is to make the shake, to get her done. And my husband's watching this, right? So as he's watching this, he starts to tell himself a victim story. She doesn't even care how hard I'm working at keeping everything clean, right? So he starts to play the victim that way. And we've talked through this before. So he knows the victim, villain, helpless, as do I. It's a good thing to know in relationships, because it can help you move through misunderstanding quicker if you know these three stories and are accountable to them. So his victim story is that I'm not aware of how hard he cleans, right? So it's not the fact that I'm getting beet powder everywhere. That's neither here nor there. That's subjective. His strong emotions, negative emotions, came when he started to tell a story about me making my shake with the beet juice and it going everywhere. His story was that I was doing this on purpose and I didn't really care, that I was apathetic to all the cleaning that he does. And his, obviously, when you tell a victim story, you've got to have a villain. So be aware of that. So once you tell a victim story, you've got to have a villain. And so the villain was me, because I was being ungrateful for all the cleaning that he had done. And then the third story is the helpless story. And usually we have like a one-liner with our helpless statement. It never ends, was his. The cleaning never ends. I can never keep up with it, because I'll just come in and just be living, as I'll often say, I'm living and stuff is going everywhere. Now, so when we tell ourselves the victim, villain, and helpless story, that's when we suffer, right? We end up suffering because we're self-focused, right? You're not understanding me or being compassionate to me or respecting me. And that leads to a big fat story where you're the victim and someone else is the villain and you're feeling helpless. There's nothing I can do about it. Well, this is a great playground where Satan slithers in to apply those four ordinary activities that Father Vincent shared with us on spiritual warfare wisdom from an exorcist. If you haven't listened to that one, highly recommend it. It's a game changer at edgegodin.com. And so Satan in that space is deceiving, in this case, my husband. He's creating a story, right? Just like he did to Adam and Eve. He created a counterfeit control story for Adam and Eve. Counterfeit means that you create something in the exact replication of something that is authentic, with the intention to deceive. So the deception for Adam and Eve was, you're in control. That's deception. We're not in control. God's in control. And in this situation, he slithered in and created a deception story that I didn't care how much my husband cleaned, that I was just being selfish and focusing on my own needs. And that triggered him. Right? So Satan's loving this disconnect in communication. However, when we realize, I'm totally playing the victim here, you're the villain, and I'm feeling very helpless in this situation, there are two places that we go. And this is the other piece that I wanted to share with you today. When you're playing the victim and someone's the villain and you have a helpless story that you're creating, that is, Satan's just totally blowing some air on to fuel the flames of strong negative emotions, we usually go to two different places, violence or silence. Violence or silence. So in this situation, my husband went more toward violence. Now, let me explain violence. Violence is ugly talk or defensive behavior. And so he chose defensive behavior, like you don't even care, you know, that this is happening, right? But when we unpack this in the framework of the story of the victim, villain, and helpless, everything became clear. And he owned the violence choice of defensive behavior, right? The other one is silence. And silence is basically stonewalling. So some people will use silence when they feel the victim, villain, helpless story taking over their thoughts and leading to negative emotions. And they'll just stonewall. There's a story about a CFO that the CEO once said, "Hey, you don't know as much as me. I mean, with all due respect, I've been here twice as long as you have," in a meeting that he felt embarrassed. And so from that point on, for years, he never spoke up in these major meetings, even when the financial insight was crucial for solution. Yet he didn't speak up because he chose silence. I'll show you. I'm not speaking up anymore. So what is it for you? Because that's where Satan tries to get us, to divide us. Remember, he deceives to divide. He deceives us by these three stories, victim, villain, helpless, in order to divide us, right? Because when he divides us, then he can divert our attention from God and ultimately create discouragement, which is his ultimate goal. So what is it for you? Do you go to violence when you're telling yourself these stories, when you're making up story that's leading to very strong negative emotions, or do you go to silence? Silence or violence? Violence is that ugly talk or defensive behavior. And I'd like to say it includes gossip. It includes what we talked about in the negativity fast last week. It includes chastising other people, talking badly about other people, using your words to shame, blame, justify, to cut people down. That's all violence. That's all under the umbrella of the violence response, right? The silence is what it is. It's stonewalling. I'll show you. I'm going to control the situation by never talking to you again, or I won't talk to you for a little while until you feel bad enough and then come to me. We do all kinds of antics as human beings, my friends. And God wants to free us from all of this. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Don't allow yourself to be burdened by these stories and the choice for violence or silence. So be aware of where you go, right? As my husband and I talked through this, we realized that the story was a play, right? And so instead, he decided to use a question instead of going to the silence or violence or believing the story. And he decided to use a coaching question, coming in and saying, "Hey, did you notice how this beet powder goes everywhere? Like once it's on your hands, it just kind of spreads everywhere like wildfire, right?" And then I didn't even know. So I wasn't even aware. But then when I looked down and I saw my red fingers and red marks everywhere I touched, I was like, "Holy cow, I didn't even know that." And I honestly didn't even cross my radar. But yet when he brought it up, I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I said, "That must have been a nightmare for you watching me make this shake. And I'm so sorry. I wasn't even aware, but now I will be. And now I am." So I wash my hands after I take the scooper out. I do it over the sink. Much different situation. However, when we leave the story out of our connection with people, we open up healthy communication. And we create an environment for respect. I respect you. Even though you have different filters and see things differently, I'm wondering, did you notice this? Or I'm observing this. And I've mentioned this before, but anytime you're going in a crucial conversation, use the words, "I sense, I observe, I notice." Because those aren't the fighting words of, "You always do this." Just state what you're observing and open it up with a question. Now, when we become aware of the story, the victim, villain, or helpless story, those three stories, that evokes the negative emotions and pushes us into silence or violence, we can then rewrite the story. That's the key piece with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to see this person as you see them. Help me to be compassionate, kind, loving, caring, understanding. And in Emotional Intelligence in Christ, the six-week journey study guide, if you haven't already experienced that, I highly recommend that. It's a six-week, you can spread it out as long as you'd like, but at the end of the entries for each day, there's an invitation to think about the EIC method, basically identify an encounter that you had where you didn't show up the way you know that God would desire for you to show up with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness, compassion. And then you identify what the story is that you were telling yourself that led to the negative emotions. Identify what was going on, what story was behind the situation, and then you course correct with the Holy Spirit. So this is all great theory in the world, yet our victory lies, as we know, in the power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us to identify and adjust, to be aware of the encounters when we're telling stories, to identify the specific story we're telling ourselves that's leading to the strong emotions, and then to course correct with the Holy Spirit. So when you shift from your story to rewriting the situation and posing a question for clarity, then you stay out of the drama. And that's our goal. Because God has called us to peace and love for one another. And he guides us into that when we're willing to be led. And it leads to self-awareness. How much of our ineffective communication flows from the stories we react to? So my invitation to you, my friends, this week is to be aware of the story you're telling yourself. The next time you're spun into a negative emotion, ask yourself, am I telling a victim story? Am I making someone the villain? Which leads to the helpless feeling. Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to do in order to rewrite this story. Where you are the Lord of my perceptions. James 1, 19 through 20 says, be quick to hear and slow to speak. When you're the observer, you're watching. Wow, look at that behavior. This person's going slow on the highway. I wonder what they got going on. Maybe they're distracted. Either way, you don't give it any free rent. You just move with the Holy Spirit. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, as James says. James 1:26 says, those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, wow. If I don't keep a tight rein on my tongue, I deceive myself and my religion is worthless. So, Holy Spirit, grant me the grace to keep a tight rein on my tongue, to step out a story, a victim, villain, and helpless story, because they're running rampant. Spring clean your mind, my friend. Victim, villain, helpless story, silence or violence. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how this is showing up in your life, because it's a true game changer. When you refuse to participate, because you know whose arena that is, Satan is loving to divide us and deceive us, divert our attention from God and discourage us. This is a big fat way that he's doing this in our society today. So be accountable to God. Take every thought captive. Make it obedient to Christ, as we're called to do. Be aware of where you go when you tell yourself a story. Silence, stonewalling, or violence, ugly talk, defensive behavior, gossiping, cutting people down, using the sense of words to shame people, passive-aggressive behavior, all of that. Do not touch, do not taste. It's all destined to perish with use. Be careful of the helpless story. There's nothing you can do about a situation. You can't make it better. Those are literally, that's a t-shirt Satan wears. You can't do anything else. It's hopeless. That's a lie, my friend. God sees you. And he is always, always after you to restore a sense of hope and purpose to where you're at today. And he loves you right where you're at. So that wraps things up for today. Our topic on spring cleaning your mind, three stories that hijack your ability to communicate well. Be aware of them and ask the Holy Spirit to give you victory over them so that you stay out of silence or violence and you take every thought captive and use your tongue to bring glory to God and grace and mercy to the people around you. Give them heaven out there. There's enough of the dark side going on, my friends. God bless you today. Pray for me. And I will pray for you.